Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is Mana Mogul Monday. Thank you for joining me today. I am your host, behavioral scientist, Tanola Oliver, and this is the Making of the Mogul radio show. We did not do Mana Mogul Monday. I think it was last Monday. We only do it once a month, try to do it the first Monday of every month. Doesn't always work out that way because I've been busy. So in today's news, what are the things that I am excited about? If you follow my timeline, I just recently posted where Shonda Rhimes and Netflix has received, I want to say the rights to do the documentary on Black Barbie. I am excited about that. Also, I posted an interview with Akon where he was talking about his ability to be in the presence and around what is the gentleman's name? He's an African gentleman, supposed to be the richest Black man in the world. His name is Aliko Denko. And he talked about, it really reminds me a lot of the literary work Outliers. Outliers is all about the motivations behind what we do. The reasons we do what we do, we say what we say. And the divine authenticity of why we have the motivations that we have. Most of the rich people in the world that have an extreme amount of wealth are people of faith. And Outliers, the Live Research Study of Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, talks about just that. Talks about Curtis's 50 Cent Jackson's, his faith walk. The fact that he was raised in church, that he grew up with a very religious grandmother, that he grew up in church, and the motivation behind why he does most of what he does is motivated by divinity, which sometimes people, they find that difficult to understand because of Curtis's, what looks like at the surface, his personality. I have a way of processing it as a protective wall that prevents him from being hurt, being taken advantage of, manipulation, all of those things that happen when you're trying to climb a professional ladder or trying to pursue an accomplishment that you've never seen. Right? Trying to accomplish something that you have no reference point for, right? And so for me, that is how I have the ability to interpret some of the rough edges in his personality, right? Plus the environment that he grew up in, and I'm not talking about within his grandparents' household. But as he was, his personality was cultivated in the street. But that does not take away from the fact that he was raised in a religious environment. So there's the Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. Well, there's the Curtis Jackson and there's 50 Cent, right? Two different people. And depending upon your interaction with him has a lot to do with what part, what side of him you activate when you encounter him. A very gentle soul, though. The amount of times that I've been able to be in the environment where he's been, he is a very gentle soul. Very gentle soul. One moment. All right. And so I released a partial volume. I released a free partial episode of Volume 5 of the Make Another Mogul journal. And so if you want a full journal, you have to actually subscribe. So the only thing that's missing from the full journal is like the workplace research topics and information, right? All of the information around rebranding, organizational culture, measuring internal customer service trends, you have to actually subscribe to have access to the full volume 5. So what was in volume 5, it talked about just the customer-centric environment of the Atlanta, Hartsfield Airport. It also talked about the fashion extraordinary Miguel Wilson and his polo fashion show that he does every year. You know, the one thing that I didn't get to mention in the article. So it was my first time attending. I look forward to attending again on next year. The one thing that took me by surprise, so I didn't know what to anticipate. And because it was just a 1-day trip for me, I didn't have the opportunity to go to the vending machine. I mean, not the vending machine, but the ATM machine. And so as culture is trying to recalibrate how we interact with each other, it reminded me of how different geographical regions happen to be from one another, right? For example, Atlanta is still very much a cash city, right? Any city that you enter into that has a lot of entertainment, there is still a lot of cash generating. So I haven't been to Vegas in several years, but I can only imagine that Vegas is probably still a cash city. Atlanta is definitely still a cash city. And so it is important for us to utilize ATM machines, right? It does not work on our behalf, particularly those in the entertainment field or even those who still prefer, right, to have some management of cash, right, available to you. You have to use cash. Like, you have to go to the ATMs. In cities like Atlanta, Vegas, if we want to keep the entertainment industry alive, for people who are still paid under the table, right? I'm a big proponent for people who still happen to be paid under the table for various reasons, right? And so in order for us to continue to maintain that part of society, right? We still have to use cash. And so when I went to Atlanta, because it was only a 1-day trip, I did not remember to go to the ATM. And so not knowing what to anticipate and what to expect, I did not have the opportunity to tip the drivers. And I felt terrible about it because, like, that's part of who I am. That's part of my brand. That's why people who typically remember who I am is because of my cash tipping, right? And I didn't have the opportunity to tip the drivers because I didn't have any cash on me. I didn't have any money on me. And I felt really bad. And so my last drive, which was to the parking lot, I turned around and I told the gentleman, I said, "You all have been so chivalrous," right? Like, they helped us on and off. They escorted us on and off. The sprinters, they held our hands. They made sure we didn't fall. They made it easy to move from one space to the next in stilettos, right? On a farm type of plateau plain. They made travel easy for women, right? Who were dressed up, right? On a farm. And so I told him, I turned around, I told him, I said, you all have been so chivalrous and I am so appreciative, right? And we didn't have to wait long intervals of time between people to move one space to the next. And I said, I feel so bad that I did not bring, that I don't have any cash money on me so that I could have been tipping you all. And the gentleman's response to me was so alarming, right? Like, this was a very high-end event. And he said to me, he said, nobody has tipped me all day. And I was in amazement. I was in amazement, because they provide, like, without them, the event would have been different, right? It was the drivers that brought the extra elegance to the event, right? And wasn't the men weren't really on the sprinters. It was just the women, right? They shifted the caliber for me of what type of event that it was. And to know that gentleman said that nobody had tipped him all day, I felt some type of way about that. And just as a reminder, we have to remember that when we travel to spaces like that, Vegas, Atlanta, that we have to have cash on us, that we still live in a society that in cities where entertainment is prominent and booming, the cash is still king, right? And so that was the only thing that I could remember about the event. I said, if I had an opportunity to have a conversation with Mr. Wilson, what would I say? And that would be the only thing. It's just a friendly reminder, right? And I don't know, is it inappropriate to tell your guests, remember to bring some cash with you to tip the people that are there to serve you? Like, I don't know, like, what is an elegant way to say that, right? Is that something that you mentioned in the invitation? Or do you have an ATM, right? Do you have somebody deliver an ATM so that people can have cash to utilize, right? So that was the only thing that I thought about, that I said, if I could have a conversation, this would be some of the things. One of the only things that I would mention. Let's see. So let's move on. Today is Manamoga Monday. And so this is what I want you to know, is that it gets easier from here. Why does it get easier from here? It gets easier from here because there has been a spirit of honor that is being rekindled in the earth, right? And I'm sorry, let me take a few steps back. As I was mentioning about carrying money on you, physical money, there, so when you travel, you realize how different regions are geographically, right? And so if you only stay in certain parts of the geographical regions, you would think that that's the norm, right? And so what are some of the things that are more prevalent in certain regions than the other? Because southern regions still have that sense of hospitality and the need to interact with each other, though we have... So there are certain regions where owners of organizations and companies at the executive level receive so many complaints that they have strategically begun to reduce human interaction, right? That is not a USA thing, right? That's regionally. And I was having a conversation with a young lady the other day in the grocery store. And I told her, it was just a reminder of me when I returned from traveling this past weekend, how we have to be intentional about human interaction. And it's not that we need to diminish human interaction, it's that we need to do a better job at training people on how to interact with other human beings. And so I don't think people realize that if we're not careful, there is going to be a specific demographic of people that will not find themselves interacting in society before various reasons. And so if we have things like self-checkout, what type of positions do they eliminate and who do they eliminate them for, right? What classification of people, right? If we begin to do all of shopping, right? And again, this is a geographical thing. Right, you can still walk into a department store in certain regions and the store is packed. There are certain regions you can walk into a department store and it looks like a ghost town. There are certain regions that they push online shopping more than they do in other regions. So what positions and what class of people and what employment is that eliminating? And how is that affecting the job market in specific regions? And so what I am admonishing people who operate at that executive level of leadership is to find ways to better train people on human interaction. That's with your better human interaction with your customer base and teaching even your staff how to train the customer on how to interact with them, right? So that at the level of human interaction, there is some reciprocity of respect for the human race. When I talk about the Hartsfield International Airport in Atlanta, it was the first time in years that I actually agreed with that emotional intelligence was at work, right? You know, oftentimes I have been the person that diffuses the notion of emotional intelligence because for me, the way that it was introduced to society and introduced at an academic level, for me, it was like finding another outlet and another way to measure people's worth, right? And it wasn't in positive ways. It was in derogatory ways, right? And it was pushing a measurement on people, a demographic of people who had not had the affordability to be able to operate in optimum levels of emotional intelligence because of the culture and the environments that they were, their personalities were cultivated in. And so that's why I was such the devil's advocate of emotional intelligence, because it wasn't fair to the people who had been in less desirable environments, right? And so they bring to the table a certain roughness or candor to their personality that looks like they lack emotional intelligence, and that's not it. They just lack the patience for interacting with ignorance, right? And their boundaries are very embellished, right? You see their boundaries immediately, right? And that's because they've been in environments where people didn't have the wherewithal and the training and the candor to understand the boundaries at a humanistic level, right? So that's why I've always been against the notion and the word and the utilization of emotional intelligence. When you walk through the Hartsfield Airport, though, the employees there, if I believed in emotional intelligence, were operating in emotional intelligence at an optimal level. So I don't know who's doing the training at Hartsfield Airport or who's doing the hiring, right? Because there's some things that people have to bring to the table, right? Like people have to bring a respect and a cadence and a candor for human interaction and for human beings, right? That look like them and don't look like them. That's not something that you can teach, right? People, that has to be inherently and divinely inserted into a person, right? And so their level of discernment in the environment was phenomenal, right? I watched the staff run interception on so many situations that could have turned into escalated situations. And they did it with such candor and eloquence that if you didn't see it, you wouldn't have noticed it, right? And that is the type of customer service level that we need when we walk into grocery stores, when we walk into department stores, right? And so it is not the lessening of people in those environments. And again, this is not a national problem, right? This is a very specific geographical problem. But what I don't think people understand in certain geographical regions that unless you relocate, right, to a region that still has an appreciation and a heavy emphasis on customer interaction and service, they're eliminating your positions and your relevance in the workforce because there is an appearance that you don't have the emotional intelligence to work in that space or to manage the people that enter into that space. And so if you add to that space in a negative way, then from an executive level and an executive position, it's what purpose do you have in that environment, right? So they eliminate one of the components of the toxic interaction, which is the employee. They still make their money. They still make their money. And now the only thing that they have to manage is the interaction between customers, right? They've removed the toxicity out of the negative interaction between employee and consumer. So now they're finding ways. And so when you go into stores and they have self-checkouts, the way that they are spaced, the way that they control how people walk into stores, you'll see barriers that only allow people to enter into a space with just the entrance and the exit one way, right? They are things that they're doing very strategically, right? Now you have people that'll deliver your groceries or you can pull up and have your groceries placed in your automobile. All of that is lessening human interaction. And anytime you lessen human interaction, you eliminate the workforce. So what I'm saying to you as a behavioral scientist, and this is still Manamoga Monday, right? What I'm saying from you from a humanistic interaction perspective as an employee, regardless to what level of employment that you're at. And I talk about this from a training perspective in volume 5 of The Making of the Mogul Journal. As an employee, you have to be aware of your biases, implicit biases. And if you want to maintain employment, not only do you have to be aware of them, but you have to be able to not react and respond on them as if you have the right to push your opinion and your disagreement on an individual who is visiting your place of employment. Because why you feel like you have that 2 to 3, 4, or 5 seconds to get it off your shoulders. The people above you, and I'm not talking about middle management, but I'm talking about the executive leadership, is finding ways to eliminate your position because it's a problem for them. It's a problem for them in the place of workforce, in the means of they are clueless how to train you. Because there are some things that you have to bring into a room yourself. There's some things you have to bring to the employment yourself, right? And we live in a society that lawsuits are easy, right? Very easy to sue a major chain, right? Very easy to file a discrimination complaint, right? And so they're eliminating your ability to be toxic in those environments. So I'm just turning the light on for you today at your level of engagement with people in your workspaces to say that if you don't learn how to interact with people professionally, respectfully, honorably, who don't look like you, who don't dress like you, who you may not like, who you may feel a certain type of way about, your chances of maintaining employment are slim. And here's the reason why. Because educated people are now having to, and I'm not, and I use that term very loosely, but if you look at the Walmarts, the Myers, the Macy's, they have invested a great deal of money into sending people back to school because they feel like their way of fixing this issue is by educating staff and then holding on to the staff that they educate. So when I say educated people, I'm saying it not from my perspective as a behavioral scientist. I'm saying it from the perspective of the people that are operating at the executive level, right? So educated people, because the cost of a living is increasing and has increased, and I've noticed that gas prices are decreasing. So I think we've hit that bell curve and consumer products where we're about to see prices begin to decrease again now that we've somewhat recovered from COVID financially as a nation, somewhat, right? That we're going to start seeing prices decrease and become normalized again. But in the meantime, right? The reason why stores like Walmart and Myers and retail stores have increased the amount of money that they're willing to pay is because they're looking for a different type of employee, right? And they've taken the human interaction of resume reviewal out of it. And now you have to opt in or out of having a computer to look for your experience within a resume, right? So what they're doing when they say that we want to have a computer look for experience is they're stating that an educated person would know how to layer their resume properly to be seen and recognized, right, by artificial intelligence. And these are the people that we want because they have some sort of formal education. And if they had to act a certain way in order to make it through formal education, then we can anticipate that they can come into our spaces and act a certain type of way that does not run off our customer base and prevent them from spending money with us. Right? And so people with education are now having to work more than one job. And so it's easy now to be able to recognize who those people are, because now not only do they not have to pay them benefits because they only work part-time, but then they have the caliber of employee that they feel like they want that's not going to run off their customer base. And so what I've been saying for years and years and years and years is that human interaction is optimum, right? Human interaction is optimum. And I don't care what type of organization you see yourself as, you deserve to have the cream of the crop and have people within your organization that are going to treat your people with respect and with candor, that will invite them back, that will refer people, that will tell people about the good experience that they had, right? And if we look at the example, we can talk about the fashion show. Did I have a good experience? Will I invite someone to attend with me next year? Well, I recommend to my audience and my followers to attend the next year, right? Is it worth the human interaction? It is always about the experience of the consumer. And so executive level people as producers are saying, how can we increase our consumers and remove the toxicity that has that is evident in specific regions more than the other? And so the thing about saying, okay, well, I'm just going to relocate. If you take your personification with you, you're just going to be in another region, unemployable. So you have to decide, right? You have to do some personal development. You have to decide to connect with coaches such as myself that have ways of helping you to cultivate and develop yourself professionally that your employers may not have the time to do, right? To be a part of my Curtis 50 Cent Jackson executive leadership class, that's a resume builder, right? Not to mention, I have a reputation, right? So I admonish you, at whatever level of professional interaction that you are in, to be mindful of your interaction, right? People, the bolder you are, the more people notice. And nobody says nothing. Everybody says something. Everybody tells somebody, whether they report it anonymously, whether they tell one of their fellow coworkers and their fellow coworkers tell somebody, everybody reports and everybody tells somebody, right? It's just a matter of time for at an executive level that strategic decisions are made on how can we eliminate the toxicity. And so I admonish you to develop yourself professionally and to develop your biases so that you can interact with people better, right? And it's not about the biases you think somebody else has. It's about examining your own biases, right? If you encounter a person in publicly and you, because you followed them on a platform and you automatically feel like you have a right to be intrusive to their space because you feel some type of way about their platform, that is a bias. That is toxic. You are part of the problem. You are the people that executive leadership are trying to eliminate from the workforce and from human interaction. They don't want you out there as a producer, as part of their employment staff, and they don't want you out there as a consumer either. They see you as the toxicity in society. And so I told this young lady in the grocery store the other day, I said, I refuse to use the self-checkout. I said, I'm determined to have human interaction and to train people how to interact with me. And I said it on another post, you will never encounter me and I don't have something on me to protect myself. Never. You will never encounter me and I don't have something on me to protect myself. And I know my rights. And I say that to every other woman and every other man and every other innocent person in society. You do not have to tolerate ignorance. And so I know this is not the Man and Mogul Monday that you were anticipating. And however, it's a necessity. It's a conversation that I needed to have. I highly admonish you to subscribe to the Making of the Mogul journal. There is a lot of information in there about human interaction and training, and what type of skill sets you need to take to the workforce. What type of skill sets you need to be working on at every level of your professional and personal life. Okay. This is behavioral scientist Tanola Oliver. I'm wishing you the best today. It gets easier from here. And I look forward to interacting and talking with you somewhere out there on a day-to-day basis. And so accountability is a real thing, right? If you'd like to sow a seed into research and development for the ELA Foundation, you can do so at $SALTROOM. If you'd like to book myself to as part of the book tour, or just to speak at your engagement, that is electleadershipacademy@gmail.com. And then you always have the ability to order from the bakery. All right. Thank you. I'll talk with you soon. Peace.